I have a friend who described to me what it was like trying to persuade this fellow at work of something that he needed to explain. And he said, you know those sort of light bulb moments when something suddenly goes on in your head? He said, well, he must have had an energy-saving light bulb. Because it was like, yes. Okay. Oh, yes, I get it. A light bulb moment. Well, I think that the Apostle Paul had a great big light bulb moment on the Damascus Road when he suddenly realized all his training as a Pharisee. I imagine that if you were a Pharisee, you had various bits of the Bible that were a bit tricky and you didn't quite know how they fitted together. And where was the Messiah going to come and how did this match with that? And then he had this enormous light bulb moment. And he writes this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And it's not just Romans, Paul, the author of Romans, who had this light bulb moment. Martin Luther had a light bulb moment as well. And I'd just like to read to you a short excerpt of his light bulb moment, which was related to his understanding of this verse, Romans 1 verse 17. He said this, I had greatly longed to understand Paul's letter to the Romans, and nothing stood in the way but that one expression, the righteousness of God. Because I took it to mean that righteousness, which means God is righteous and acts righteously in punishing the unrighteous. Night and day I pondered until I grasped the truth that the righteousness of God is that righteousness which means through grace and sheer mercy he justifies us by faith. Then I felt myself to be reborn and have gone through open doors into paradise. The whole of Scripture took on a new meaning. And whereas before the righteousness of God had filled me with hate, now it became to me inexpressibly sweet in greater love. This passage of Paul became to me a gateway into heaven. Now I've got my job cut out, haven't I? To make this passage of Paul be to you a gateway into heaven. I've got a picture which is from the Paralympics. It's actually from the 2012 Paralympics. And to me, it summarizes what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, actually to run by faith, because this is a 100-meter sprinter who cannot see and just has to trust that the person connected by that orange elastic band knows what they're doing. Habakkuk was a prophet who saw beyond the time of the Babylonian invaders of Judah to the time when they would fall. Habakkuk couldn't see it with his human eyes. In fact, he had to hold on to God's promise when everything he could see around him was death and destruction. Part of the revelation that God gave him was this message that those who are righteous by faith are the ones who live to see the promise fulfilled. He starts his letter saying, how long, Lord, must I call for help and you do not listen? And then God reveals to him, the righteous will live by faith. And Paul quotes that in this verse that we're looking at this morning, Romans 1 and verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And there's another person whose very important experience for us to understand this righteousness of God by faith, and that is Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, we read this. Then the word of the Lord came to Abraham. This man will not be your heir. Because Abraham had said, well, I haven't got any heirs. It's going to go to Eliezer, my servant. The word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. But a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. God took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. I have worked for 5 companies. However, I have never had a P45, because what happens is each company gets taken over by another company, and I carry on doing the same job. And so, over the 5 different companies, Rank Xerox, and Xerox, and EDS, and HP, and HPE, this September, I have been credited with 35 years of service for HPE. Well, HPE didn't exist 35 years ago, but I have been credited as if I had been working for them for 35 years. Much good may it do me. I think I get a letter saying, well done for enduring 35 years at work. But Abraham was credited with righteousness. He had something, you might say it's impossible for me to have 35 years of service with HPE that didn't exist 35 years ago. He was credited with righteousness. And for him, that was equally impossible. This is good news. The gospel we were thinking about last week is good news. And in the psalm that we had read to us, it says this, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. How amazing it is, not only on the one hand that we are credited with righteousness, but that we are not held to account for all the things that we have done wrong. Isn't it just amazing? Isn't it just good news? This is good news. This is the gospel. During this period up to Christmas, and then a little bit after Christmas, with a break for Christmas, we're going to be looking at the book of Romans. So this is the second in a series of 13 altogether, looking at the book of Romans. And we're using to guide us a book of which I have quite a few copies, a whole box full. So if you would be interested in the book behind the series, here it is. And on the front, it's got a blank page, which I think means it's got room for a signature by the author, if that's what you would like to have. Making Sense of Romans. And the aim of the book is really to get you and me to read Romans for ourselves. Not to say, oh, well, it's got so much in there, and I've seen so much. Martin Luther, Core, he thought it was his favourite book, and he wrote a whole book about it. You know, I couldn't do that. I mean, just to encourage you to make sense of Romans when you read it for yourself. And as we do that, we make sense of it by using the tools that we use to make sense of lots of things these days, the free stuff on the internet. And we're going to look at 3 themes that we can find in Romans. The themes of faith and hope and love. And today, as you know, we're particularly looking at faith. John Edwards recommended to me an app, which I now have on my smartphone, which is called MySword. And I've got it for 2 reasons. First reason is it's free, and I'm a bit of a cheapskate. And the second reason is because I can use it offline. You can download a Bible onto it, and you can look at it offline anytime, even when you're on the tube, when you haven't got a signal. So when I look up, for example, Romans chapter 4, verse 6, one of the things I can look up is using a free Bible version, which is abbreviated ABP, and it is an interlinear version. So it's got Greek and English, and you can see how they have been translated. So when I look at Romans chapter 4, verse 6, there's a word in our translation, our New International Version that we use in the church, which is credited. And when I look at it on my phone, I can see it says credited is Strong's word G for Greek, G3049. But when I look at verse 8, there's a word which our New International Version translates as counted. And when I look at it on this interlinear Greek Bible, I can see that it is also in the original language Strong's word G3049. So it's the same word, and we translate it slightly differently in different parts of the chapter. And I hope that sort of thing is going to be helpful as you're looking at Romans and you're wondering, is that the same thing or is that something slightly different? It's free stuff. You can get it on your phone. I think this verse that we're looking at, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, is worth memorizing. So I invite you to say it with me. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, some people think that you get righteousness in different sorts of ways. Is the righteousness of God something that we get by birth and tradition? I've got a picture on the screen of a Beni Amir boy. This picture was taken in Tessene in Eritrea around about the time when I used to live there. And I don't know if you can see it clearly on the screen, but because he's Beni Amir, he has the tribal markings. He has three gouges in each cheek. And that marks him out as a tribesman belonging to the Beni Amir tribe. So they have this tradition that if you're going to be part of their tribe, you have these scars on your cheek. And at the time that Paul was writing this letter to the Romans, of course, the Jews had a very similar idea that if you were going to be a true Israelite, you too had the tradition, you had circumcision. And what mattered, perhaps they thought that if they had circumcision, that would mean they were righteous. They were born into the Israelite people and they were righteous because they had circumcision. They had that outward mark. Now, you might say, oh, that's all just historical and that's all just very local to the Jews and to that time. But unfortunately, I think some folk feel that, you know, if they've been baptized, especially if they've been baptized in Slough Baptist Church, well, then that means that they're righteous because they were baptized. But baptism and circumcision were always intended to be an outward sign of an inward reality. It's not the sign of circumcision that made people righteous. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 11, will tell you about when Abraham was circumcised, when God said, this is going to be a sign to us, between us, that we have made this covenant. Abraham, that you and I have this covenant is going to be shown by circumcision. And the book of Romans tells us that it's not by circumcision. So Romans chapter 10, let me read you quite a bit out of Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 3. Since the Israelites did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God so loved the world. It's for everyone who believes. Righteousness is not racial. The righteousness from God is not something that comes by birth and tradition, marked by circumcision. Would you say it again with me? For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Some people think that the righteousness of God comes from obeying the law. There's a very interesting commentary Terry refers to in his book that suggests that Romans is patterned on the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, chapter 5, is one of the places we read about the Ten Commandments. In Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2, we have a description about how Jews and Gentiles, in their different ways, try to keep righteous by keeping the law. And those two chapters kind of conclude that, to be honest, neither Jews nor Gentiles can keep the law. But in Romans chapter 3, we have this marvelous verse. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. And I'm going to stop there, because otherwise I'm going to steal Paul's thunder. Next, we're going to be looking at the law in a whole lot more detail. But does righteousness come by keeping the law? No, the righteousness of God is apart from the law. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And then, of course, there are folk who think that being righteous is a matter of outweighing the bad stuff that you've done with a bit of extra good. And it's as if these people think that if you've got points on your license, then if you drive extra slowly past every speed camera, then it will somehow kind of wipe those points out. We can't do that. We can't actually do enough good things to outweigh the bad things. We don't actually get righteousness by good works. In fact, in Romans, we're told it's a gift. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's not something we do by doing lots of things, good things. It's something that is given to us, the righteousness of God. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And bringing all those things together is Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, if you want to follow it, is on page 1131. 1131, Romans chapter 4. And it talks about the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, it was before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he, then, is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.